If you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Mark chapter 6, and we're looking at the 30th verse of the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place." Very bright guys, aren't they? "And already the hour is late. So send this crowd away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves some bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and he said to them, and you'll want to underline this, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." I would have said, "How many loafers are there of you?" But, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." And then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups, and notice, on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, groups of hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and he broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. 5,000. Our Father, would you work a miracle in our midst? Would you just manifest yourself, that not one of us would leave without experiencing you? We pray for this miraculous story that 5,000 men, not counting women or children, were fed with just five little loaves of bread and two fish, and then there would be abundance left over. Could you apply this to our hearts, Lord, that we would learn to trust your power, that you will multiply our needs and fill them, and that we don't need to look to this world for the answers, but to your kingdom. So we pray that you'll teach us to trust you today, and that whatever the issues are, that we would let them fall by the wayside and we'd just see you. We would humbly ask you to forgive us for being phonies, for saying that we are something that we're not. And Lord, would you help our hearts be strong in you and weak in ourselves, that in our weakness you'd be very strong. You would lift up the brokenhearted and you'd encourage today. There is nothing that you cannot do for those that will sit down at your feet and let you do it. Would you take our lives as these loaves into your mighty hands that have been pierced with nails? Every woman, every man, every child. And would you break and bless them and multiply them for the world around us? So bless us to be your children and how to live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is an interesting story. I'm sure that we've all, most of us at least, have heard this story before. 5,000, there's another scene where he feeds 4,000 people. But this is so full of things that you can apply to your life today that could change you forever. And I'd like to point out that this story was interrupted. In our last message, we saw that John the Baptist came on the scene and was arrested by the government, put in prison. And then Herod's wife, who hated John because he spoke out against her adulterous relationship with her husband. She used to be married to Philip, his brother. And she had a teenage daughter that was a seductress. And one day when Herod the king came together with all of his princes and rulers from around the country, because Rome was now occupying Palestine, Israel. And he was drunk, and Herod, to impress all the men around him, said, "Tell me what you want, I'll give you half of my kingdom." He let the booze cause his mouth to run off, and how many times men will do that? I think it's very important that you notice that it doesn't say women and children sat down, that we can assume this, but that 5,000 men sat down this day with Jesus. And I think the issue in the first century in Israel is probably the same issue in America. Where are the men? Where are the men that will stand up for righteousness and be godly men, strong men, committed men for the things that are right, for the women of this country, for the children of this country? Where are the men? Instead of trying to be like a woman, they should be standing up and marching in the streets that they're proud to be men and that they know who they are. And I think it's important that it says 5,000 men were here this day. And we can assume, as many scholars will say, it was a 3-to-1 ratio. If one man was there, there was 3 children and a woman possibly. That would take you out to 15,000. Others would say, no, there was probably 10. Conservatives say there was a minimum of 7,000 to 8,000 people in this crowd, minimum, to be conservative. And they all were orderly, and when Jesus spoke and he organized them, it was his hands that they looked to that was the provision. And in your home and in your condominium and in your house with your family or your roommates, if you will sit down orderly and just open your hands up to say, "Lord, here's what we have to offer in this house," watch what God will do. But if you control your life and you control everything and you hold on to everything, you're going to feel the anxiety and the frustration that you feel right now. As I was pulling into the parking lot before the first service, I heard a CBS radio story that caught my attention in Los Angeles. A man was living in a motorhome, and people began to call the police to see what he was up to. He had 96 cats living in the motorhome with him, one rabbit and a dog. 96 cats. They opened up his refrigerator and found 6 dead cats in the refrigerator. They said that they saw cats coming from all over, and once a cat walked into that motorhome, they never came out of the motorhome. Now, that is a bizarre story. 96 cats in any home is a little lunatic, if you ask me. But to have 96 cats with you living in a motor home, holy cow, holy cat. They took all 96 cats to the Cat Foundation, or wherever you take 96 cats, and they left him, and the news commentator said, the end of the story, he must feel a little lonely today with just his bunny and his dog. What an interesting story. Right here in San Diego County this week, what a tragic. 2 people found dead in their home. A husband and a wife. The husband shot the wife, and then he shot himself out in Santee. She had cancer. He had lost his job. Their house was being repossessed. They had no money. They had no hope for the future. So at Christmas time, they decided this will be it. And they took their own lives. How desperate would you be? How desperate are you? We should be desperate for the things of God, calling out to him like these people, willing to sit at the feet of the Lord and to learn and say, okay. You see, they are occupied by the Romans. The Romans hated the Jews. They are in an economy that is as bad or worse than our economy, first century history tells us. Do you notice in that story, and we'll look at a couple of these highlights, that the disciples said, send them away so they can buy some bread. Not to get a meal, but to be able to buy some bread. That's all. If you could send them away, we won't have to worry about them. So the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, verse 30 says, and they told him all the things what they had done and what they had taught. Now turn in your Bible back to verse 7 and hook this story together. Because the interruption came that as Jesus had a plan for people, the devil had a plan to destroy. So when stepdaughter seduced him in front of all the other men, she went to her mother and says, hey, he said he'll give me up to half of his kingdom. What should I ask for? The mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And so she did. And the king said he felt bad, but because of his word, he had to keep his word. He ordered John to have his head chopped off. And he brought it to her. How sick. Persecution. Interrupted. Now you can feel comfortable. But across America this week, There has been a Homeland Security notice for churches that they should be on alert. Now, I pity any fool that come here with all you cops that are here right now. But that's something to be aware of. But how about last week and the week before in India? Just in one town, what, 60 churches were burned down? 200 Christians were murdered? They're killing American and European missionaries in Cambodia, in Vietnam, in China. And now Homeland Security says, churches, be alert in our country. You see, in verse 7, it says, he called 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. He gave them power over demons. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey, learn to go by faith, except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but wear sandals and do not take two shirts with you or two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons. They anointed with oil many who were sick, and they healed them. Interruption. News broadcast all across Israel. John the Baptist has been killed by Herod. He has his head chopped off. Front page news. Union Tribune. Acapulco. Great resort area to go to. 15 young men in their early 20s were all found decapitated on the streets of Acapulco. I think the tourist business is going to go down in Acapulco. Right on our borders, it is happening. It is horrible. But yet, when you look at the persecution that's happening with the churches in the world, that we here in America just deny it or shy away from it. But the word was that you're to go out and to multiply, and I'll give you my power. Interruption, the devil is trying to stop the expansion of the kingdom of God. In London, a report by British intelligence service MI6 reveals for the first time an estimated 200 million Christians in 60 countries are now facing persecution orchestrated in part by Al-Qaeda. 200 million Christians in Sudan, they are trying to cleanse ethnically all Christians, basically, to wipe them out in Darfur. The report is based on details from MI6 agents stationed in these countries, and North Korea is identified as the world's worst repressor of Christians. More than 50,000 Christians, brothers and sisters of yours and mine, more than 50,000 are in concentration camps because they refuse to submit to the extreme views rigorously enforced by the country's dictator, Kim Jong-il. And an estimated 40,000 Christians are imprisoned in China for their beliefs that you hold today. MI6 analysis calculates that there are some 70 million, quote unquote, active Christians in the People's Republic, all living in a climate of fear because of their beliefs. 2 years ago, the bodies of American family who were Coptic Christians, Egyptian, Christian faith, including the father, Hossam Armenius, 47 years old, his wife, Amal Garas, 37. Their daughters, Sylvia, 15, and Monica, 8, were found bound and gagged with their throats slashed in their New Jersey home. Hudson County prosecutors said to be exploring several possible motives for the slaying, including retaliation by terrorists against Hossam, described as an outspoken advocate for a Coptic Christian religious freedom in Egypt and well-known leader of an online ministry to the Muslim American community. I could read to you hundreds of reports right now of how the Christians around the world are being persecuted. Here in America, the persecution has come by, get your cross. We got hit again after all these years. Get your cross off of Mount Soledad. Get your Bibles out of the school. Stop your prayer meetings. All the things that are just coming, and we, like the frogs in the kettle with the heat being turned up, are doing nothing. No, it's time to wake up. Interruption, I'm sending you out. But persecution has come. So when you come to verse 30, they have finally come back from their trip, and they're excited, but they're exhausted, and they tell Jesus how excited they must have been, sent out by twos, and they are on alert. More than a dozen Christians were killed and seven kidnapped when members of a militant Islamic sect raided towns in Borno State in the north of Nigeria. The persecution keeps going and going around the world. He said unto them in verse 31, "Come ye yourselves apart to a desert place. We'll relax, rest a while. For there were many that were coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even time to eat." How kind of Jesus to want to refresh them, isn't it? And he wants to refresh you and me, too, and strengthen us. He's got new things for you. And one of them, as we were just hearing from Trevor, was commitment. A commitment to pull away from the flesh and the desires of the flesh in this world and to stand free in the Lord and to let him control our emotions and the things that deceive us and pull us away. How kind. It's important for the renewal of the Spirit. But you may be so full of the world that you don't know that your spirit needs to be refreshed or renewed. There's busyness in all churches, no matter how large the congregation is. There's busyness for the ministers. These guys are peopled out. Leisure time is important for our body, our soul, and our spirit. And Jesus says, let's get away. You've been watching me, and now you've gone on your own, and they discovered something. 12 men cannot reach the world. But in reality, those 12 men reached you today. They did reach the world. But God is always looking for 12 men and women. And he'd sit us down in orderly groups, just like Moses in the wilderness would sit down all those 2 to 3 million Jews. And they'd be set in 12 different groups with their banners into the sand and the wind blowing. And he would instruct them and talk to them. And he had them all organized. And they were without food. There was no economy for 40 years for the Jews. They had no military. They had no clothing stores. They had no septic tanks or bathrooms. They had no food. They had nothing. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and God provided for them. That is a miracle. That was an 11-day walk had they just gone straight to the place God told them. They chose 40 years to murmur and complain about everything God did instead of rejoicing. You know, God says, "Did not I take care of you? I gave you sandals. Your shoes never wore out. I gave you clothing. It never wore out." They wore the same clothes for 40 years. Now, ladies, I know that'll be hard for some of you to grab a hold of. 40 years with the same pair of shoes. But God had it in an economy different than the world's economy. While Egypt and all the empires of the world were doing their worldly things, here was a group of people that God provided for, separate from the world. They were separated in that desert. But they murmured, they complained. What are we going to eat? And so God sent manna. And Moses sat them down orderly, just like Jesus sitting them in these groups, and says, God is bringing you angel food. Angel cake is basically a little wafer. There must have been some quality inside that wafer that angels eat, and it strengthens them and allows them to come and go on this planet and from heaven and walk through walls and be powerful like they are. It says man is made a little lower than the angels. And so these angels were given this food called manna. The word manna means, what is it? So manna started falling on the desert floor. And the Jewish people said, what is it? And Moses says, you're right. They said, no, what is it? And he said, it's it. No, what is it? And he said, you got it. What is it? Yes, manna, it's for you. And he said, there's a little rule here. If you have a large family of 6 people or 7 or 8, then go out and take just enough manna. If you have a small family, take just enough manna for yourself. Don't let greed get into this. Because if you take too much, it's going to rot. And I think about my garage and my closets. How much extra is there that we really don't need? How many storage units do we have to get because of the extra? God would have us lean and mean in a fighting machine for the souls of the crowds that are hurting. And he would raise you up to be a special person as Paul the Apostle was or as Moses was. And so he says, let's get aside here. Now, it is interesting. In verse 32-33, they departed to the desert place by this ship privately. The people saw them departing. They knew who it was. They ran out of all the cities, and they got there ahead of him. Now, if you were taking the boat, it's a 4-mile direct sailing to get there. If you were to come from the sides of the countryside to get to where he was in the north there, where the Jordan flows in to the Sea of Galilee, it's an 8-mile jog. Some of these people jogged 8 miles to be where Jesus was. Do you have that much concern for your relationship with Jesus?
that you would run to a meeting? You'd be on time to a meeting with Jesus? They got there ahead of Jesus. They were so excited that Jesus was there, that they came by the thousands. And you could see the crowd just building and them saying, come on, cousin, come on, sister, come on, brother, grandpa, come on, I'll help you. You got to go. Jesus is going up here. Now, what were they going to do? They were going to rest. They were exhausted, these men. And yet, here's thousands going to be there. When you are given to the service of the Lord, you do not have a calendar that is yours or a clock any longer. You are on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to be spiritually in tune, to help whoever comes in front of you. These men were excited that they spent a week or two on a practicum, and they're going to tell Jesus all that they did. But he says, hold it, let's get away so you can rest. But they're now going to see that their master never sleeps, for the souls of men consume him. And Jesus says in verse 34, when he came out, he saw much people. And would you look at this? He was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. That's a very interesting word, because this word for compassion should touch your heart today. It was a word, the viscera, the stomach. It was in the pit of his stomach that he felt your needs. And he looked at the crowd, moved with compassion, like inside. He just said, oh, the same feeling that was on the cross when he had nails in his hands and he thought of you. Oh, his heart was broken. Why was he filled with compassion toward them? It answers it. Because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Many things he began to teach them. He went into depth with them for a long time. In fact, we see by the clock that he went into the sunset time, and the disciples were concerned. Sheep without a shepherd. Answer this. Who's your shepherd? Are you a sheep that just wanders San Diego? You bounce from church to church. You don't have a shepherd. You're an independent whatever. But a shepherd. A shepherd that's in tune with God feels in his heart and his stomach what you're feeling and loves you and cares for you and plans a message for you and prays for you. You're protected by that shepherd. He's feeding you. He's going to use his rod and his staff and everything that he knows to keep you protected. He's moved with compassion. The pit of his stomach. A very intense word. Its root in the ancient Greek, meaning the viscera, the stomach, added the idea in the New Testament when they printed this of tender feelings or emotions. And we read of the tender mercies of God. Sympathetic emotion. I don't know your situation. I know I've had a rough situation for 3.5 years. I'm following the Lord the best that I can. I'm hanging on by the thread of his garment, to be honest with you. I beg him that he'll save my soul. I beg him almost daily that he'll let me go to heaven. I pray that I could be a good, godly man. I fear, I worry that I'll never, ever be accepted by him. But I know by faith that I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I confess to all of you today that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says I will be saved because of that. I've asked him to forgive me of my sin. I've asked him to help me. I ask him to strengthen me. But I can only trust that he will lead my way. He's my shepherd. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not to fear any evil. But I have to tell you, I get closer to that valley of death and I fear some evil will get me. But it's only a shadow. Just a shadow. A lady told me a story in the last service that she was helping a elderly woman, 97 years old, and she was taking care of her, and she'd go to her home and visit her, and she had a stroke before Christmas, I believe it was October, and because of the stroke, she couldn't swallow, so she was losing weight, and she wasn't able to drink much, and she was put into a home, and so the nurse lady from here would go and visit her. And she said for a year or two, as she met her, she would come every Sunday to her home before the stroke, and she'd tell a joke that I had told her, one of my corny jokes. And this lady was not a Christian. And she'd say, well, does your pastor have another joke for me today? She said, well, yes. And then one day she'd say, well, what did your pastor have for a joke today? And said, well, he wasn't there today, but his son was there, and his son had a joke. And it was worse than his dad's, Phil. And so he would, she would tell him these corny jokes. She didn't want to hear the sermon, just wanted to hear the jokes. And that was like a hook in her jaw that the Lord used these corny jokes. So she said before Christmas, she went to visit her and she got up on the bed and laid down beside her. And she looked at her and she could see her profile. And she knew that she was having trouble swallowing. And she simply said, after all this time, knowing that she's going to die sometime, maybe this week, she said, after all this time, do you want to know Jesus? And this lady said, yes. And she said, then you need to pray. And she followed her prayer. God, please forgive me of all my sins. And Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And this lady accepted the Lord just before Christmas. And the next day she started to swallow again. They started feeding her and letting her drink. 97 years old, she is gone. And it took a corny pastor with corny jokes to hook her. You know, the Lord's ways are not our ways. They are so radically different. And it is so comfortable to live the way that everybody else is living instead of being totally sold out for the King that created us. Somewhere, somehow, at some time when there was no time, there was always a creator. We call him God. He's always been there, all powerful. He's created everything that we know. A universe that is billions of years wide with trillions of galaxies and stars. Nothing bumping into anything. So much power and energy. He's always been there. Way before you. You're good for 70 years in this body. 70+10. Maybe a little bit more. That's going to be it. And after that, what? He's still there. He's still there. And he's so powerful. Imagine the humility that he came down here and was born of a virgin and took on a human body. For the Bible says in the book of Romans that God was in Christ Jesus on the cross reconciling the world back to himself. How humble for this creator to spend 1 second in thought for any of us in this room or on the internet or on the radio network. 1 second of time in our sphere to think about us. We are nothing. And yet our ego and our pride, our education, our money, our strength, our energy, our relations, oh, we're something. We're nothing but dust. That's all we are. And yet we get in this world and we feel it and we touch it and we smell it and we taste it and we hear it, we sense it. Oh, this is what it is. It's all this. And yet God tells us something differently. Except a man be born again, he will never enter the kingdom of heaven. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn this world, but the world through him might be saved. But here is the condemnation, that men love darkness more than they love the light, lest they come into the light and their deeds be reproved. No, God loves us, but we have to humble ourselves as he did and fall before him and give our lives to him. The pit of his stomach is just so upset that over 5,000 people are in such need. But he taught them at great length, which is the solution for lost and helpless people, is to let the Bible speak to you. 9 times in the New Testament, Jesus is shown to have this deep compassion for people. And it was usually in 2 areas. When he saw somebody that was sick or ill, he had a compassion that came out of him. Or because of the fruit of sin in people's lives, he would look at the potential. There's so much potential in this room. Tremendous amounts of potential that is hidden. It's just hidden. You've hidden it and you give a little bit of your potential to the world so you can get a paycheck back. You've got so much talent. There's so much that all of us could do that we could touch San Diego in a way it's never been touched before. And I've seen San Diego touched in many ways. Imagine these people say, well, I need some food. But look at the attitude. Come on, let's get the attitude here. They come to Jesus. He's moved with compassion. And they say to him in verse 35, the day was far spent. His disciples said, this is a desert place. Already the hour is late. Get rid of these people. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something like bread for themselves. They have nothing to eat. But Jesus answered them and circled that word you. That in their language is emphatic. He turns to them and looks at them and says, you give them something to eat. You're the people that are supposed to be serving. You're the people that are so filled with everything I've given. Don't hold on to it. I'm showing you that I'm only one man and I've got 5,000 men sitting here. And the 12 of you can go and do a million things. But their attitude, how often our attitude is the same? Let's let somebody else do it. Think of that when you get to heaven. You stand there and you see all these rewards people are getting. I'll just be thankful there is a crown of salvation that I'll get this little crown on, like a Burger King crown probably, you know? And well, you got saved, that's the least. There's a crown of righteousness, there's a crown of the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, and there's rewards given, and there's neighborhoods. Let not your heart be troubled, John said, chapter 14. Jesus said, you believe in God? Well, believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. What a word of hope that is. Mansions, plural. Neighborhoods. I'll be down there in the motorhome with the 96 cats, so come and visit me. I'll have my salvation helmet on, right? But just think of the people we don't know about that are suffering right now in a prison that believe just what you believe, and they've been asked to bow their knee, and they say, no, I won't. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's King. And they're freezing somewhere right now. They're tortured simply because of their faith. When we saw on American television very limited footage of Iran during the summer of these protests, what was happening was not only was there street protests, but hundreds of thousands of people were accepting Jesus Christ, and there were these homes all over Tehran and other cities, large cities, that were being filled with people, groups of 200 to 400 people we've got reports of, that were mysteriously meeting Jesus in dreams and giving their heart to him. And when this all flowed onto the streets, now they're killing and arresting Christians, the news reports tell us, during the Christmas holiday. Killing them. They don't want it to spread. They don't want other people to be born again. They want control. This world wants control of you. Some of you are under the power and the control of this world. And in the case of these disciples, they are under the power of devils. And these disciples came and cast them out. Jesus gave them that power. Some of you have the power of the world and you're missing the power of heaven and the power of God's love and compassion that comes from the God that wants the best for you, wants your potential to rise to the top and not to be capped and stopped, wants you to be able to come out of yourself and just to love people and to be loved. Aren't you tired of people saying, hey, how are you? And you go, great. And you're miserable. You know, you walk down the hall of school or you bump into somebody in the cafeteria and say, how are you? You don't really care how they are. You have to say that. But imagine a kingdom where people really are caring about other people. They really do love other people. They will do all they can to help other people. That's what Jesus is trying to show us here. 5,000 men. What are you 5,000 men doing with the Romans standing around collecting taxes from you? How are you changing your country? Where are the men that will stand up for God and be godly men and live a righteous life? And Jesus has 5,000. He's telling his disciples, you're telling me to tell these people to get lost. That's what you're telling me? I think that's the image of the church for many people. Get lost. We're busy inside here doing whatever it is we do inside here. Here's the church. There's a steeple. Look inside. You got all the people. You know, we're busy being Christians here. And the world is dying. So the political movement comes and puts in power evil things. When day was far spent, it says in verse 35, the time is far past. Send them away. It's probably springtime. Mark said we have green grass. Probably mid-April. The sun in the first century in Palestine set around 6 p.m. Somewhere around 4 or 5 o'clock, the 12 guys came and said, hey, it's getting to be dark. No food. Get them out of here. And we know that verse 39 told us he sat them on green grass. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, the manna ceased after the first Passover was taken place in the promised land. They came in the promised land. The manna stopped at the Passover. Here we see that Jesus brings provision just before the Passover, because in the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 4, he tells us his story, but he adds the Jewish Passover feast was near. So now we go back to the calendars. Jewish Passover, about April. Yeah, about April, Passover feast. So the manna
God's provision stopped when the people could take care of themselves after Passover. Now, when people can't take care of themselves and heaven is coming, we need provision from Jesus. I don't know your situations right now. It doesn't have to be financial. It could be emotional. He's the only one that can provide for you. He's the bread from heaven. He's the manna that will take care of you at this point. And now the Passover is coming, and he is the provision. In verse 38, he says, you give them to eat. And they said, shall we go buy 200 penny worth of bread, 200 denarii? You know what that is? That's 8 days of wages. Their question is raised by saying, you want me to work a whole week plus a day and to give it to this crowd? Could you imagine that? Given a week's paycheck in 1 year. Oh, wow, how great you are. I gave $20 last year. I wrote it off my taxes. Wow, God's really impressed. You want me to go out and buy 8 working days worth of bread to feed this mob? You got to be kidding me. He's challenging them. Who are you really inside? Are you a person that even cares for others? Jesus is digging deeply in their hearts, and he's getting them prepared. And he said, no, you. I'm telling you. What do you have? What are your resources? Now, John steps in again, and he tells us the resources. Jesus told us in John's gospel that he is the bread of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are told that we are ambassadors as Christians, ambassadors for Christ. Otherwise, we're diplomatic. When we show up, the Lord shows up. And when people have needs, we help take care of those needs. When the word speaks to us and convicts us, we humble ourselves. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, give now while you can learn. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we're told that the old things are past, new things have come upon us. We're new people, we're new creatures, we're new creations. Is there a change in your life? Are you still hanging on to what's in the closets? Have you got manna from heaven, or have you just got fat food from the world? Are you just sitting back as a fat cat, and you're not really doing anything with your life? Is there a challenge that you can look up like Jesus and see the glory of God and look out over your city and say, oh, my Lord, what can I do to help? How can I help, Lord? He commanded them, sit on the ground in these companies, and they sat down in ranks. And some of your Bible says in blocks, some say in ranks. But the word there is garden plot. Sit down in garden plots. Now, many of you belong to the home fellowship groups. You have 10, 20 people, 30 in your home. And he looks from heaven and sees that as a garden plot. They're sitting there. They have to be thinking of Moses. All 12 tribes would sit before him. Now, Jesus has them in garden plots. Here it is on the green grass with all these colored robes and turbans and pilgrims coming to Israel for the Passover. And they're calm, and they sit at the feet of Jesus, and they're hungry. They're hungry to know what God wants. And the men who should be serving them are hungry in their tummies. And Jesus said, will you provide for them that? Jesus went really long with them that day, feeding them what they needed, the word of God. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. Now, John helps us here because he tells us that there was a boy whose mother made a sack lunch for him, basically. Can't you see these guys? They're embarrassed that Jesus said, you feed them. And they're saying, get rid of them. Oh, what have we said? Get rid of them. We should be serving them. They go through the crowd and they find a little boy with a brown bag. And they grab him, twist, hey, buddy, give us that sack. Jesus needs it. We're going to look good. We found something here. It's a kid, but nevertheless. And Andrew brings him and says, here's this little kid. He's got a lunch. I think it's so great that this little kid comes into the picture to remind us to be little kids. Let go of this world. Be yourself. Be happy. So his mommy made him a lunch with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. These 2 fish, when you look into the word, they're like sardines. So don't think of a big trout or something. Sardines, they're caught actually in the Sea of Galilee today. They still live there centuries later. They're long, skinny, but they're like a little sandwich fish. This boy had 2 of them, and they salted them. And they were a little bit spicy, but they weren't very big. And the bread wasn't like a loaf that you'd chop 20 or 30 pieces. They were little barley loaves, which were just a little handful. And you'd slice it open, you'd cut the little fish, and his mom probably put some bacon and eggs and some mayonnaise and mustard and some Tabasco sauce and stuck up some lettuce and tomato. And he had an animal style, like an In-N-Out, and he'd sit there. But you know that barley, the grain itself, and barley bread, we are told, is the bread and the food of the poor. That's right. It is the cheapest bread that you could buy would be barley bread. So this little boy came from a poor family whose mommy, like many of you mommies, cared that their sons and daughters would meet Jesus. And I could see her just fixing that little barley loaf up. She's very poor. Here I got two little feet. You're going to be there all day. You're going to be with the men of the country. And let them be a role model for you. And men, how the teenagers need you and me as role models, and how the young boys need you and me as role models, that we stand up for righteousness and we rebuke the works of darkness and wickedness. We stand as men that say, I believe God is here through his Son, Jesus Christ, and I will represent his kingdom. And light comes out of you. And the boys and the girls that need to see that light will follow Jesus because of you. And so Jesus met that little boy, and I'm sure he is very gracious to him. And it says, when they found out they had 5 and 2 fish, he commanded them to make them all sit down on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks of 50s and 100, and he looked up to heaven. And what a picture for you and me to look up to heaven. And he took that little amount that was given to him, and he's going to teach a great lesson, that you may have a little amount and not much. Your life, you say, I have no influence. What am I going to do? But that's what Jesus wants. It's when we're weak that he is strong. And you come to him and say, Lord, I'm nothing, but if you can use me, and if you want to be blessed, notice that he breaks first. You have to be broken. You have to allow God to work through you. You have to die to yourself. You've known yourself your whole life. It is tough to die to yourself. It is very hard to die to yourself. It hurts. It really hurts. But I trust him. I think sometimes he's going to swat me down to the ground and kill me. And then I look up and I say, but by faith, I believe. And that's all he requires is trust. But unless he can get my grip off the trust of having a secure home and a secure paycheck and secure health and secure family, I can't really be used by him. But I have to feel in my gut for you. I have to know that you in the military that are suffering, that you can be touched by God. And those of you that are going through divorces, that God would work in your life and give you strength, and that you could die to self. He's empathetic from the gut for them. He's willing to challenge these men. You're talking about a day's wages times 8. I've got a little boy here that has more faith than you. Give me your sack, little buddy. And it says, he looked up to heaven. And as we get ready to leave, I encourage all of you, look up to heaven more than you've ever looked up to. Because there are things in the works. There are things in the works you may not have the privilege of meeting like this. Oh, I'm not going to say it's happening tomorrow. The underpinnings are here. Do you know what this shooting in Arizona is doing now? It is difficult to get in the state capitol in Washington, D.C. right now, basically without an appointment. And now the money to secure all the Senate and the House of Representatives with security. And then that multiplied times 50 states. And that the rules that are going to change, like getting on an airplane to be able to be identified with some mark or some card or some chip implanted. Who are all you people? Who can we trust? Are you for the system? Or are you rebels? Take what you have and say, Jesus, I've got this one life and I might have 20 years left or 40 years left, but use it for your glory and let him break you and let that brokenness pour out to all those that are willing to sit and to learn and to listen like a garden plot. He took 12 baskets. Each guy went out there and it was filled. And you take the 12 and divide it into 5,000 plus. You'd say, there's no way those 2 little sardines and those 5 little barley loaves. And when they came back to Jesus, they didn't tell him,
about all that they had done when they were out working miracles, their mouths were shut. That not only did those 5,000 get filled, it says, they were sated, maxed out. They had Filippi's pizza and In-N-Out burgers at the same time. They were maxed to the top with a little fish from Anthony's. They're just overflowing. They're bloated. Whoa! And each guy is standing there, all 12 of them, and their basket is full. Will you be obedient? Your basket will be full. But not only that, hundreds around you that are in your network that you pay no attention to will overflow also. Take your talent, take your gift, take your personality, take what you have, put it in his hands. Let him break it before God Almighty and let the power of God come on you. And you become a little girl or a little boy again and see what really is going on and blessing those around you. In conclusion, Jesus doesn't want us to depend on human powers. Depend on God's power. The Roman government, the Israeli government, they couldn't help the people, but God will always help you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, he's teaching them. What do you have? We don't have anything. Well, go look. Come on. Quit feeling. Go out and dig up something. The world will never provide for you and me, ever. Oh, they may trick you. And you say, oh, I get a paycheck. But if you stop and look, God's behind the scene giving you that paycheck. God's putting the food on your table. And don't you ever forget that. He feeds the sparrows. And when one sparrow falls to the ground, he takes notice of it. You and I don't even have an idea how many sparrows are in San Diego, California. But every time a heart stops beating and the fluttering stops and they fall, God says, Gabriel, 732,000 sparrows have died around the world today. Would you take note of that? How much more will he take care of you and me? Will we trust him? And if we don't need his care openly, will we thank him and praise him? Kingdom living starts with kingdom trust. When God guides, God provides. The Lord is aware of your needs, and he's teaching you. Sit at his feet. Let his word bathe you. And whatever comes your way will multiply beyond yourself to those around you. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Your graciousness is overwhelming, Father. We're very grateful to you that you would provide for us. We're extremely grateful, Lord, that you're there and that you're not playing a game with us. You're not a puppet master. But for some reason, unbeknownst to us, there is an evil angel that's the administrator of this planet, and he controls everything except for your body. Oh, God, help us. We don't understand the big picture. Don't let us live for ourselves in this world that is so vain and empty. Bless these sweet people, Lord. Bless them that they count it a joy to serve those that don't understand all of it. That their hearts would not be to send people away, but to bring more people to you, like that little boy. God, may you meet every need. All these single people that are standing here right now, may you take any loneliness away. Take away any frivolous waste of energy, money, time, talent that they expend to cover up their loneliness. God, may your love overpower those that are married. May it just trust you for everything. May we all just look to your throne right now and say, God, forgive us that we don't trust you. Pour out your blessings, Lord, that people will shout out and say, what is this? And they'll recognize it's the glory of God on his children. Honor these men and women, Lord. Bathe them in your glory. Let your light shine upon them and through them. And let them trust you through your word, that they would see you multiply your kingdom in them and through them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.